Welcome to English with Fraser, the weekly podcast for intermediate English learners who are serious about improving. Whether you're brushing up or building your confidence, join me each week for real conversations, smart tips, and the touch of that British charm. Let's level up your English one episode at a time. Hello there, and welcome back to English with Fraser, the podcast that makes English effortless, one episode at a time. And today we're diving into a topic that every English learner, yes, even those more advanced learners, indeed requires from time to time. And that's because we're looking at the top five most common grammar mistakes that English learners do make. As always, I'm joined by my faithful co-host, a bulldog who insists that his grammar is as perfect as his posture. It is, of course, Winston.
Naturally, Fraser. I was raised on the Queen's English, after all. My first bark was grammatically impeccable.
I'll take your word for it, Winston. Right, anyhow, let's get started, shall we? One is probably the most common mistake, and that's using a, an, so an, and the incorrectly. Now, this one is all to do with articles, so as we just said, a, an, the. So let's start simple. We use a before words that begin with a consonant sound, like a dog, a book, a cup of tea. And then we use an, A-N, before words that begin with a vowel sound, an apple, an hour, an umbrella. Funnily enough, this hour actually starts with a H. How many hours? Although because the H is silent and the letter that comes after it is a vowel we use the A-N article instead of A.
I once heard someone say, "A honest bulldog." Disgraceful. It's an honest bulldog, thank you very much.
Yes, exactly, Winston. And then there is the. We use the when we're talking about something specific or already known. Pass me the salt. But if it's the first time we mention something, then we'll say a salt shaker or just some salt, because neither you nor the person I'm speaking with know this subject. We don't know, the salt, it hasn't been introduced, what salt? But if you know what they're talking about, the salt's on the table, you're looking at it, you can say, pass me the salt, because everybody knows which subject is being referred to.
Ah, yes, the tea, when you're talking about the only pot in the room, but a tea, if you're at a cafe choosing your brew. British priorities.
Indeed, articles can be tricky, but as always, practice does help. When in doubt, think about whether you or your listener already know which thing you're talking about. And if it's a or an, just think about those rules, consonant or vowels, and then it's pretty easy to decipher which one to say. A book. A calculator. Number two is mixing past simple and present perfect. Now, let's look at an example to describe this. Past simple, I have seen that film yesterday. Present perfect, I saw that film yesterday. Now, if you mention a specific time in the past, like yesterday, last week, 2010, it is past simple. But if you're talking about life experiences or something that happens and affects the present, use present perfect. So these three examples are all present perfect. I've seen that film before. I've never been to Scotland. I've just had breakfast. Now, if you wanted to make that pass simple, you would say, I have seen that film last Monday. This year, I've not been to Scotland. At 8 o'clock, I had breakfast. They're all past simple now.
So if I say, I've eaten breakfast, I mean recently. But if I say, I ate breakfast at 8, I'm talking about a specific time.
Now, a good tip for learners, if you ever use ever, never, just, already, or yet, you're probably in the present perfect. So let's look at that sentence again. I've just had breakfast. This is in present perfect. The structure have, has, and then a past particle. So I have had, because here had means eaten or ate. And the function describes a recent action that has relevance to the present moment. Because I have just eaten, you're talking about something that happened really recently and that will affect your meaning. Oh, I've just eaten. What does that mean? Well, you're probably not hungry and don't want to eat again. So essentially, you're saying I ate breakfast recently and that result still affects now. Other examples would be, I've just finished my homework. So you've just finished your homework. This is present perfect. And it might mean you don't want to study because you've just finished the homework. So there's no more tasks or you're too tired. She has just gone out. So, oh, unfortunately, you missed her. She's just gone out. This is present perfect because it affects the current state of affairs now. She's just gone out. So you may have just missed her. Give her a phone call. They all describe very recent actions. Common mistake number 3 is forgetting the third person S. Now, this is a tiny but powerful S, and it's one of the most simple rules, but even fluent speakers, even native speakers, can forget it when they speak rather quickly. In the present simple tense, we add S or ES to verbs when the subject is he, she, or it. He likes coffee. She studies English. It rains a lot in England. For example, you wouldn't say he liked coffee. She studied English. That would be grammatically incorrect.
I'd say he walks elegantly, referring to me, of course.
Well, if you describe yourself in the third person, like Winston just did, you may look a bit of a prat. Now, here's the thing. Many learners forget and say, she go to school. He like drinking. It might seem small, but that little S really shows that you're not a native speaker or your level's not quite as high as other people. And it's actually quite obvious for natives when they hear that to know that your English is not natural, not native.
I call it the S of sophistication. Never forget it, dear listeners.
Mistake number 4 is confusing much, many, and then confusing few and little. Now, actually, I have to admit, many native English speakers still get this confused and say it wrong. So if you do say it wrong, do not worry too much, but hopefully you can remember these rules and try to speak as grammatically correct as possible. But I have to admit, I've heard many native speakers say much instead of many at the wrong time. Now, these are countable and uncountable nouns. And this one is all about whether something can be counted or it cannot. So we use many and few with countable nouns. Many people, few apples, many ideas. And then we use much and little with uncountable nouns. Much water, little time, much money.
So I'd say, I have little patience when my food is late.
Ah, yes, Winston. You can't count patience, but you can count sausages. Here's another helpful phrase. If you're not sure whether a noun is countable, think, can you say one of it? One apple. Well, one apple, yes, so it is countable. One water. Well, no, you can't say one water. You could say one bottle of water or one cup of water, but then you're adding a countable noun in front of that. It's the same with time. You might think, well, you can count time in hours, minutes, seconds, days, but then think about it like this. If you said one time, well, you're not counting how much time there. In what unit? One time. Well, no, it should be 1 hour of time. And then you're adding that countable noun before it, which is hour. So 1 year of time. You can say that, but you couldn't say two time. That's wrong.
And don't forget, in British English, we often say a bit of for uncountable nouns. A bit of advice, a bit of luck, a bit of cake.
And mistake five, the last common mistake, is the wrong prepositions after verbs and adjectives. Now, everybody's favourite, prepositions. Learners often use the wrong preposition after common verbs or adjectives. Now, the best way to convey this is giving you a few examples. So, I'm interested in English. I'm not interested about English. I'm interested in English. I'm good at cooking. Not good in cooking. I'm good at cooking. Because cooking is a skill. So I'm good at reading. I'm good at talking. And cooking is a verb. So we have to use at, not in. I'm afraid of spiders. Not I'm afraid from. I'm afraid of what? Of spiders. Wait for me. Wait for me. So it's not wait me, it's wait for me. Wait for who? For me. For you. Listen to music. I like listening to music. I like listening to classical music, to musical scores from films. Not I like listen music. I like listening music. I like listening to music.
I've noticed people also say married with instead of married to. It's married to. Unless, of course, you're married with five bulldogs.
Nicely spotted. Now, these small mistakes can make your English sound unnatural. They are, of course, very small mistakes and very finer points, but these are the finer details that help you go from sounding unnatural to more confident, natural, and sound like a native speaker, which I assume is most people's goals. The good news is you can learn the correct collocations by listening and reading more in English, and then it will come to you more naturally. And of course, you can listen to this show and pick up correct grammar, correct structure just through diffusal, just through listening, all that content going into your brain. If you listen often, once a week, every day, just keep coming back and listening, and eventually, over time, you'll get used to it and pick up those patterns naturally.
Ah, grammar. The backbone of any good conversation. Some say it's boring, but I say it's the tea and biscuits of language. Simple, comforting, and essential. Don't be afraid to make mistakes, dear listeners. Every British person you meet has probably made a few themselves. The trick is to listen, repeat, and keep improving. And if anyone corrects your grammar, just smile and say, "Thank you. I'm learning from the best." Then walk away with the confidence of a bulldog in a bow tie.
It's quite common to make mistakes, even in your native language. So if you do make mistakes, don't be disheartened. And actually, making mistakes is the path to wisdom. And having those mistakes corrected is usually the best way to learn. Because next time you remember, oh, that person corrected me. And even though at the time you might feel a bit silly or I should have known that, it's actually the best way to learn from making mistakes and keep growing. So to quickly recap, today we covered 5 comma grammar mistakes. They were using a, an, and the incorrectly, mixing past simple with present perfect, forgetting the third person s when talking about verbs, confusing much, many, and also few or little, and using the wrong prepositions. Now, if you can master those 5, your English will sound far more fluent and natural and skyrocket that progress. And remember, learning grammar doesn't have to be dull. It's all about using it in real conversations, about listening to real natural content and picking it up slowly over time. That's a wrap on today's episode of English with Fraser. I hope you enjoyed and learned something new. Remember, mastering English is all about immersing yourself in natural content. After all, we're making English effortless, one episode at a time. It's a marathon, not a sprint. Keep going. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to like, subscribe, leave a 5-star rating, and most importantly, share with a friend, family member, or colleague who also may be learning English. I'll be back soon with more natural English content. Until then, keep practicing, listening, and enjoy the journey. Bye for now.